Hey, my name's Madeira. I'm one of the elders here. Man, what a sweet moment to have together. And I can't, I'm kind of overwhelmed by the, by just being here. I feel like the faces in this room and seeing some faces has just brought a lot of joy in my heart this morning. And I just want you to know, it means a lot when I get to see your faces. And it's one of the beautiful things about our church is seeing the faces and the stories that are represented. So I'm going to kind of gather myself so we can actually have a teaching this morning, but I did want to confess that to you. So Drew, I think a lot of you guys know Drew, one of my disciplers, has been for a while. So Drew, as a discipler, I have a coach and mentor kind of helping me through Just Love and like nonprofit, and also my therapist. So it sounds like a joke that I'm about to make, that my discipler, my mentor, and my therapist are walking into a bar, but it's not a joke. But all three of them uniquely have, in this season, have been inviting me to get into reading fictional books. And it's weird. Like, they came from different places, not pushing me to at all. And I'm sure, as soon as I said this, y'all are like, oh my gosh, if you're getting into fictional books, you probably have a series that you want to recommend, and that's fine. But for me, I don't know what it is. And I understand why they're doing that, because I work in a pretty heavy, weighty sort of work. Like, racial reconciliation is not the most, you know, the light work. But there's something that I am so drawn to when it comes to reading real stories, real life, even if it's like really heavy, because there's something beautiful about the fact of life. And I feel like today, if there was any story that has slowly started to turn into this fairy tale of fiction, something sentimental and safe, I feel like it's the story that we're going to walk through today. It's the Christmas story. But I love the way Matthew, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew tells it very differently. I feel like when he is walking through the story, he gives us the fact of life, not a polished fiction. And strangely, that's where I think, and I hope you experience the real beauty. So Advent, we've been, as a church, been in the Advent season. Advent season has been known in the Christian tradition as a season of waiting. For us, we're inviting everybody at the church to embrace that season as waiting, because we believe waiting has a way of shaping us. Last week, Drew talked about waiting with faith. And we kicked off the series actually to talk about what does it mean to wait with honesty, how waiting surfaces the things we usually avoid or distract ourselves from. And today, Matthew is going to slow down the story and zoom in a little bit. So we've been in genealogy last couple of weeks, but he's not going to talk about the whole family tree here, but he's going to zoom in on one person. Joseph. And Matthew starts the story not like a fictional book or a fairy tale starts. He doesn't introduce Joseph at a peaceful moment. He introduces him when everything feels like falling apart. Honestly, I think that's what I love about real stories and truth in Scripture, is that that's where a lot of our lives are, trying to walk with God in the middle of a story that we didn't plan. And before we jump into the story, I want to make a note that you'll notice that this story, the way Gospel of Matthew shares it, is very focused on the person of Joseph. That does not mean Mary's unimportant. I hope you know that. Book of Luke really does give her a voice and a highlight, but I just wanted to make sure, acknowledge that, because I think Matthew has a different purpose that he wants to draw our attention to. And through the life of this ordinary man named Joseph. So I'm going to start with, let's reading the whole story together, and then what we'll do is we'll walk through different parts of that story. And if you have heard me teach before, I am not the one to just really talk at you. There's going to be questions that I'm going to be asking you, because I think the story needs us to take a moment to think about what God might be inviting you to personally. So there's going to be a moment of reflection along the way, so I hope we can do that. So let's read Matthew. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't own one, we have Bibles at the table. You can take that. I would love for you to follow along. But Matthew 1, verse 18 starts with this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then it ends with this. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so we're going to start with the first couple of verses. I think I want to kind of start with this because you can tell pretty quickly that this story is starting really different from a fairy tale, because the way Matthew starts the story is it shows us a picture that this life that we're entering into and the story we're entering into, the plans are already breaking. I want to highlight a piece of the story where it starts. It's like Mary was found to be with child. Matthew let us know that this child is from the Holy Spirit. We know this story, but Joseph does not know that. To Joseph, all Joseph knows is that this woman he loves is pregnant, and he is not the father. If any Mari fans, yeah, he's not the father. Thank you, old people, wherever you are. In a single moment, the future he imagined collapses. The marriage he anticipated, the life he planned. And Joseph stands in a place I feel like is far too familiar to us sometimes, between the story he planned and the story he's now holding. And that's what it means for life to break your plan. Not all at once, but right in the middle of the life you were already living. And I do love that, take sort of a sidebar, Matthew is so careful to us to tell us something important about this guy, Joseph, whose plan is falling apart. He does say Joseph is a just man. He's a righteous man. He's not impulsive. He's not cruel, faithful to God, and unwilling to shame Mary publicly. So Joseph does make a plan, a quiet, compassionate plan. It's the best he can do with the information he has. But it's still a plan formed without yet knowing what God is doing. So I think about us. I feel like part of being in ministry is to have the privilege and the pleasure to walk alongside of you. And I know just even right now in this season, in 2025, end of the year, I know that most of us in this room knows this moment. It's when life hands you a plot twist, as the kids would say, and you think, this wasn't supposed to be here. You question the story that is being written right now. Because nothing about this moment feels like it belongs. It may be a job you planned and the job changed. It might be a relationship or marriage, but it fractured. It might be a planned health that you were hoping for and the diagnosis came. And you planned your life and the life didn't agree. Joseph's story begins where ours often does. Not in clarity, but in chaos. And so I want to ask you, friends, I want to take a moment for you to really now draw closer to this story, because I don't want us to be tempted to think that this is some fairy tale that we're listening to. So where are you carrying a story you didn't choose? I want you to use the notes if you need to, but writing this question down, where are you carrying a story you didn't choose? A place where your plans have broken and you can't yet see what God is doing. I want to give a moment for you to think about that moment, because we're going to build up on that part of where our mind goes. Because when we draw our minds and hearts to really what's happening in our lives, and when we hear the truth of Scripture, that's where we start. That's where the real learning begins. That's exactly where mid-decision, mid-confusion is where God begins to reveal a bigger story. So in the next couple of verses, we're going to look at the story being revealed into something bigger than we can anticipate. Matthew tells us in this moment where the angel is talking to Joseph, he tells us that angel appears as Joseph is considering these things. He's making a plan. And Joseph hasn't acted yet, but he's already moving in a direction. That's when God interrupts through this angel. And I love the way that angel even begins his conversation with Joseph, because he doesn't begin with a bunch of instructions, a bunch of things he should do and he needs to do. He begins with something that feels so pastoral. He begins with saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear." Before God tells Joseph what to do, he names what Joseph is carrying. Fear. Fear of shame, fear of loss, fear of stepping into something that doesn't make any sense to him. And then God kind of pulls this curtain back, because the angel continues and he recognizes that this surprise, that which is conceived in her, is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph didn't misread his situation. He just didn't know the whole picture yet. A bigger story doesn't mean, a lot of times, friends, that the pain or the confusion or the chaos that we're experiencing wasn't real. It just means that it's not the whole story yet. What felt like the end was actually God beginning something new, at least here in this story for Joseph. And then the angel even continues not to just tell him the information that he didn't know. He actually calls him into something deeper. Then comes the calling. The angel says that you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is a mission that Joseph is being called to. So naming the child in this culture meant everything. So when angel is instructing Joseph to do this, he's not just telling him to have a cute name for his baby that he wasn't expecting. It is a name that Joseph is being asked to claim. He is being invited to claim this child, to place his what we've been talking about, David's line, to be put on this child, to participate in God's saving work. This is the first time ever, the first announcement of the good news, the gospel, is happening, and it's happening, and it's coming to a man whose life feels like it's falling apart. Now, when we talk about a bigger story, it usually doesn't come with an angel for us. It could. There's so many stories like that. I don't want to dismiss that, but majority of us, it doesn't come with an angel for us. It's often slower, quieter. The bigger picture might look like realizing years, decades, forever later, that what felt like a loss was something that God used to shape you. That a closed door protected you. That a painful season formed something in you you couldn't see at the time. Sometimes a bigger story is simply this: God is still at work, even when you don't understand how. And I feel like for me, even when I look, like even through the past 5 years, I think I've unpacked some aspects of my own story, my own spiritual journey, my own formation with the Word and way of Jesus. It's just like, I feel like this is how, like, the journey with God looks like for me. It feels like where 5 years ago, walking away from the church, for me to lose my dad to cancer, to kind of stumble into Brunswick back and not knowing what the future holds. And we had two kids. I think we were pregnant with our third one soon after we moved here. And it felt like this, where I had no idea what the hell is happening. In all honesty, I would say the other word too, because I seriously felt like I have no idea what's happening. And I feel like a lot of times, that's what the spiritual journey feels like for me. To be here in front of you, to share and talk and teach, is unbelievable, because it feels like I'm standing backstage while God slowly is pulling the curtain back. You feel that sometimes? I realize the scene I thought was the whole play is only the opening act. There's more happening than I could see from where I'm standing. You feel that sometimes? So think about the question I asked about the story that you didn't plan or the life you're living now. And I want you to build on that, and I want to ask you another question. Where might God be quietly pulling back the curtain in your life? Slow down, think, draw near. Where might He be inviting you to loosen your grip a little bit? Loosen your grip on the story, not on the story that you expected or you can control, but a story that He might be forming right now. I'll give you a moment to think about that. The reason these questions are so good for me, at least when I come into the Word of God, is that I realize that God doesn't just want to explain things away a lot of times of what's happening. I feel like He draws me closer to these stories through thinking about my own life, not because I have to be Joseph, but I think there's something happening. And I think God doesn't just explain what's happening. Even with Joseph, He gives Joseph something deeper. And we're going to see that as the story continues. So in the next couple of verses, when you see this, Matthew pauses the story, really. In the middle of these instructions, the angel tells us all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken. And this is Isaiah. This is a prophecy that had gone forth. This moment isn't random. Like, we want to listen to these and read these stories as fairy tales as if some random way this happened. This is very much in control. It's just not in ours. This moment isn't random. It isn't reactive. It's rooted in a promise God made long, long before Joseph was born. And Matthew quotes Isaiah, says, "They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And this is really where the story turns, I think, from explanation to presence. This is what it looks like when love is not just doing the right thing and being told the right thing. It's love is about coming close. And I think God wants to allow Joseph to experience that in this moment through this prophecy. Matthew doesn't say Joseph named him Emmanuel. He tells us and tells him his name is Emmanuel. This is who Jesus is. God isn't just sending help. God is coming himself. God isn't just sending help. God is coming himself. For Joseph, that changes everything. God isn't asking him to obey from a distance. God is stepping into the confusion with him. And that's where our lives kind of reminds us of moments like this. When someone shows up without answers. When shows up without answer, but their presence for some reason changes everything. And I don't know what relationships you think of or even relationship you long for where you just know that the person you want to be close to in moments where chaos is taking hold are not the ones who have all the right answers. They're the people who you can just sit with. And they won't rush the quietness. So even when I think about my own journey, I would say, leaving the church, yes, that had a lot of complicated issues. The one that surprised me and drew me to this sort of confusion chaos was definitely my dad. My dad getting diagnosed with cancer, dying way faster than I thought and we thought. And I remember in that moment a relationship that made me just experience this kind of thing where grace made more visible. I felt like, and it wasn't just for me. I felt like this person was doing this for almost our whole family. Amy was just one of those people for me where she would just sit. She wasn't trying to over-spiritualize it. And she would have been right to remind me of the truth. Remind me of the sovereignty of the Lord and the goodness of the Father. But for some reason, God gave her enough mercy and grace to know that the way she can draw close to the love that I need in that moment is to sit, talk, listen. And I feel like she did that just not for me, but our family. And I feel like I've been blessed with a lot of close relationships and friends who are just so okay with just drawing closer, not just doing the right thing or telling you the right way. And I think if you are a person who has that, I think that is a way for you to experience grace made visible. That is Emmanuel. That is Emmanuel. That is not explanation first, but nearness. And if you don't have that, that's what we want for you here. It requires courage. It does require vulnerability and being naked and letting somebody come into that nakedness and letting you and letting them just speak into that. But that is Emmanuel. That is what's happening right here when angel speaks to Joseph. He's not just saying, oh, this is a prophecy, this happened. No, this is God with us. And this is how God meets us, not from a distance, but from within the story. So this is one of the last questions that I want us to sit in as you're thinking about some of the other ones. Where do you need God's presence right now in your life more than his explanations? And maybe God could even use that to, who do you need closer to remind you of his presence more than his explanations? Who is that friend? Who is that person? Where do you need to be reminded that you're not alone, even in a room like this? So now, with God beside Joseph, with him, Joseph still has to decide. I know this story feels like, yay, everybody knows the end, everything. No, like, he just got told a lot of things by this angel. And Joseph still has to decide if he's going to listen to this voice and this truth that he's getting. So when we look at the end of this story, verse 24, 25, once love has come close, for Joseph, obedience becomes the way forward. Matthew tells us simply, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. No arguments, no delay, no bargaining. Joseph takes Mary as his wife publicly, aligning himself with a story that others will misunderstand. He honors God's word beyond the moment. And he names the child Jesus, fully embracing the mission God entrusted to him. He has no idea if this kid is going to become who he is, who the angel says, but he does it anyway. In Greek, Joseph did. I'm not going to pronounce it. I'm not going to nerd out like you did last week. I think that was inappropriate for a lot of people in here. So I'm just going to keep it short. The Greek on this was really interesting, that it's not just obedience or just forceful obedience. It was decisive obedience is what it translates to. Decisive obedience doesn't look dramatic here. It looks quiet, faithful, concrete. This kind of decisive obedience like this doesn't mean understanding everything. It means trusting the God who is with you. And often the most important part in our lives too, when it comes to being decisively obedient, isn't the big decision. It's the next small step. And I feel like just the next small step feels like the biggest next step. So it's maybe one honest conversation, one act of courage, one yes when everything in you wants to say not now. And I see this all the time in the work of reconciliation. When it comes to racial reconciliation, a lot of people think if you want to pick up something like that or our mission as a church, is if you want to join along God's reconciliation movement, everybody wants to do a huge thing. Everybody wants to post the next thing. And I realize if you want to be decisively obedient to follow in the ministry of reconciliation, what I see where a lot of the changes happen is when that one honest conversation happens around the table. When you have the courage to lean in, own what you need to own, and learn what you need to learn, and walk in the same direction together. It's about saying yes when everything else is demanding your attention and you're going, this is too much. And nothing gets fixed in that day. Nothing gets fixed in that moment. And no one applauds it. I promise you, there's no applauding happening in reconciled journey or reconciliation work. But those steps, they change the direction of the story. So the question is, what is one small faithful step God may be inviting you to take in everything that you've hopefully have been thinking about? a step that moves you towards Him rather than away? Where is the decisive obedience? And when we look back across Joseph's story, you start to see a pattern emerge. And I hope you write or think about this pattern. I wish I would have created a slide for this. But this is a pattern that doesn't happen one time for Joseph. It's not going to happen one time for us. It's a pattern that I think we may want to get familiarized with. The pattern is life breaks your plan. God reveals a bigger story. Love comes close. And then surrender becomes the next step. Life breaks your plan. God reveals a bigger story, or He is revealing a bigger story. So embracing that, love comes close. Surrender becomes the next step. Joseph doesn't just wait. He waits in a particular way. He doesn't know how this story is going to end. He waits in a particular way. He waits with surrender. And I think this Advent season is an invitation for us to wait with surrender. Releasing our fear, our plans, our need for control to the God who is with us and for us. What would that look like for you even in this moment? Can you wait right now in the moment you're in with a surrendered heart? Can you wait right now in the moment you're in with a surrendered heart? And if so, what would that look like? I want to confess to you, when I read this story and teach this, and I'll end with this, it's still hard for me to really embrace the story, not as a fairy tale. And if you're like that, I want to speak to you specifically, because the way I came to the faith and came to continue to follow in Jesus in the faith is to not shy away or dismiss those questions or skepticism, but I want you to understand something important that's happening here that I need to understand. So if you're listening and thinking, that's great for Joseph, he gets an angel, I do not. And you're not wrong, you could, I still believe you could. And it's not angel, he uses himself as a person, it could be him, his. So most of us don't receive clarity through dramatic moments like that. We live in quieter spaces where God's voice isn't loud or obvious. But Matthew, this is the important part, Matthew is not trying to teach us how God speaks in every generation. He's showing us what it looks like when God speaks. I want to say that again. There's a difference. If you go to this story and go, God has to speak like this to me, and He's been speaking to every generation this way, that is not what Matthew is trying to show us about this story. He is showing us what it looks like when God does speak. Because God is speaking, and how a person responds when they sense God inviting them forward matters. For many of us, that invitation comes slowly, and it comes quietly. So if you're someone who's waiting to hear from God, and you never, ever, ever go to His Word, you're not listening. Through Scripture, that continues to draw us back to His presence. He is talking. Through moments of stillness, not in the busyness, but to actually set apart time to just sit in solitude with the One who created you. He is talking to you. Through the trusted people, the community that loves Him and loves you. When you isolate yourself, I know there's a numerous reason you have the reason to do that. But when you isolate yourself, you're not drawing closer to His voice, but when you are near somebody who are trusted and love Him, He's speaking. Through a growing sense that we can't keep living the same way, not out of pressure, but out of invitation. Waiting with surrender isn't about becoming more spiritual, doing a lot of things, or figuring God out. It's about creating enough space to notice where God might already be talking to you. So the question is, can you wait right now, in the moment you're in, with a surrendered heart? Let's pray. Jesus, teach us to wait with surrender. not because we understand everything, Lord, but because you're Emmanuel. You're God with us. You live in us. Holy Spirit, lead us. Lead us into the next faithful step. We love you.